There is one gospel on which I stand for all eternity. It is my story, my Father's plan. The Son has rescued me. Oh, what a gospel, oh, what a peace. My highest joy and my deepest need. Now and forever He is my light. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is one gospel to which I cling. All else I count as loss. For there where justice and mercy meet, He saved me on the cross. No more I boast in what I can bring. No more I carry the weight of sin. For He has brought me from death to life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is one gospel where hope is found. The empty tomb still speaks. For death could not keep my Savior down. He lives and I am free. Now on my Savior I fix my eyes. My life is His and His hope is mine. For He has promised I too will rise. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this gospel the church is one. We do not walk alone. We have His Spirit as we press on to lead us safely home. And when in glory still I will sing of this old story that rescued me. Praise to my Savior, the King of life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise to my Savior, the King of life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I didn't have a message till a bit loud. Well, sounds loud to me. I didn't have a message till yesterday, actually this morning. Didn't know what I'll preach, didn't have a clue. But I like that. I don't worry, I don't get scared. I know God is always 4 days late, but always on time. Just ask Lazarus, or his sisters. He was 4 days late, but he was still on time. 4 days late to us, but nonetheless, Martha and Mary must have been irritated when he didn't show up. He probably procrastinated, or did something. No, I'm not going there yet. He's not stinking yet. Showed up. That's actually a remarkable account of history, is Lazarus. There you see the evil nature or the evilness in a person's heart. When they did not only want to get rid of Jesus, they wanted to get rid of the evidence. They wanted to kill Lazarus because they saw that their leadership role was at, or their nation was at stake. They might lose it to the Romans, and they would lose their positions. So they had one track mind, and that's their status with man, and how they would lose that rather than face the truth or acknowledge the truth. How often do we see that? Instead of coming clean with the truth in our lives, not specifically with anything here, we'd rather believe a lie, or people would rather believe a lie. And my message is going to be a little bit, two parts, a little bit of both. It's a short message that I have. And the first part will be out of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 11. And the reason I picked this, I had my son had a discussion with this about why would God put this in the Bible, or why was this there even, that no person like that can inherit the kingdom of God. But I'll go through this before I pray. So let's read this first. It says here, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous." You know what covetousness is? That's wanting something that's not yours. "Nor drunkards, nor revilers." You know what revilers are? People that verbally abuse other people. That's a reviler. "Nor extortioners." What's an extortioner? Somebody who's guilty of snatching away something that's not theirs, unlawfully, or through greed, or through strife, and with oppression. They do not do things lawfully, and they take things that is not theirs. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But look what Paul says after that. That's where the question comes in. "And such were some of you, but now you are washed. But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Then the question would be asked here, so all those people that are sanctified, justified by the Spirit of God, will they not be able to do any of those things ever again? I will answer this with this question. And this is, I came up with here, through the Holy Spirit, I believe, a true believer is at war with his sin. A false believer is at peace with sin. There's the difference. If you find yourself doing some of those things, as a believer, you're at war with them. You will never be happy doing them. If you're a so-called believer, I call it a false believer, you're at peace with this kind of sin. You're perfectly at home. There is no conviction. If you're convicted, if you do any of those things, if you do happen to fall under one of those categories, if you are born again, you will be convicted. There is no question about it. And I'm talking from experience, not just because I've read this. This has happened in my life. If you as a child of God are living in sin, whether it's living in a sinful relationship, whatever your life is, and there is no conviction, you need to seriously worry about your relationship with Jesus. Because the Bible says, "Whom the Lord loves, him he chastens." So before I get into the next part of my message, I'm going to ask, let's rise and ask for the Lord's blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. Lord, I will always be thankful and understand that your grace is what makes us exist. Truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. So I pray for grace upon everyone here. Lord, let every person here be honest with themselves. Look in the mirror. There is no judgmental stuff except you are each one judging ourselves. So you will touch our hearts. You'll bless them. You'll encourage us. Help to encourage us in your word, and you'll bless us with your word. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. In Jesus' name I ask this. Thank you. You may be seated. In John 16, verse 23, Jesus makes an interesting statement here. After he had said over and over, he says, "Ask anything what you will, and I will give it. Ask anything." Here he says something else. And this, I'm not plagiarizing. I copied some of this from Oswald Chambers. And here he says, "In that day you will ask me nothing." And then the question he asks is this: when is that day? That day, it is when the ascended Lord makes you one with the Father. In that day, you will be one with the Father, just as Jesus is. Why is there so much fighting among believers, especially about assurance of salvation? If that day has not happened, there would be no fighting. Jesus has shown you that you are his. That is over. If this has not been part of your heart, that day has not happened to you, then you need to seriously look for that day where the day star arises in your heart, as Apostle Peter puts it. So when is that day? It is when the ascended Lord makes you one with the Father. In that day, you will be one with the Father, just as Jesus is. And he said, in that day, you will ask me for nothing. Until the resurrection life of Jesus is fully exhibited in you, you have questions about many things. Then after a while, you find that all your questions are gone. You don't seem to have any left to ask when it comes to pertaining your salvation and your life with Christ. You have come to the point of total reliance on the resurrection life of Jesus, which brings you into a complete oneness with the purpose of God. Are you living that life now? If not, then the question is, why aren't you? In that day, there may be any number of things still hidden to your understanding, but they will not come between your heart and God. In that day, you will ask me nothing. You will not need to ask, because you will be certain that God will reveal things in accordance with his will. So you will not need to ask. The question will be there, but it will be answered very quickly if it needs to be answered. The faith and peace of John 14 says it this way, has become real. The faith and peace has become real, the real attitude of your heart. There are no more questions to be asked. If anything is a mystery to you and is coming between you and God, never look for the explanation in your mind. I'll repeat that. Never, in other words, never try to figure things out mentally. That's when you'll run into problems, because there are spiritual matters that have to be made clear to the heart by the Holy Spirit. If anything is a mystery to you and is coming between you and God, never look for the explanation in your mind, but look for it in your spirit, your true inner nature. That is where the problem is. Once your inner spiritual nature is willing to submit to the life of Jesus, your understanding will be perfectly clear. So it has to be first of your heart, the heart issue, be made clear. Then your understanding falls into place. You will understand then. If it's in reverse, you will always be fighting with questions. Your understanding, and you will come to the place where there is no distance between the Father and you and his child, because the Lord has made you one. In that day, you will ask me nothing, for you will you will be very certain that you belong to him, and that you need to fear nothing, because you are certain that he has revealed those things to you. So in John 16, verse 13, it's part of my scripture that I'll add on to this. It says here, however, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, especially from the Father, that shall he speak, and he will show you also things to come. So if you're living in fear, you're not abiding by this. If you are fearful of the future, or fearful of your kids, or fearful of whatever it is that causes you to be fear, you're not working in perfect love and are not set free. Because I can tell you this, Jesus and the Father are extremely offended if you live in fear. Now changing, not yet here. I got something else that I want to add to this. I want to add the meaning of grace, what it means to have grace, mercy, and blessings. So grace, this is a little bit changing direction here. Grace is when God gives us good things that we don't deserve. That's grace. Do we all deserve grace? But that's God. He gives us good things that we don't deserve. What is mercy? Mercy is when he spares us from bad things we do deserve. Do any of us deserve bad things? Look at your life. Look at what you did all through the week. You deserve mercy, but that's what mercy means. So God gives you mercy. And blessings are when he is generous with both. Do we deserve grace and mercy. So truly, we can never run out of reasons to thank Him. God is good all the time. So that's the God we serve. That's the God that during, now in the dispensation of grace era that we're living in, it will be the sun and will rise on the wicked, on the godly and on the ungodly. The rain will fall on the godly and on the ungodly. But we can do something that no other believer after the rapture can do. We can hold back evil. We can push back things. We cannot allow Satan to interfere in our lives. We have all authority has been given to us by Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Peter, I give you the keys to whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that key has been given to the church of Jesus Christ. So we all have the power within us to do whatever we need to do to stop evil from advancing. So we force evil back. We come against it. It is within. We perish for the lack of knowledge. If we would read and study Scripture, it will show us clearly how much power is at our side if we only dare to connect ourselves through the Word with the King of Kings who is in control. And you can live in fear. That's your choice. I choose to trust Him. And I can tell you this. All of us have, throughout the day, issues where we run into where we can be fearful. It's a decision that you have. You will come to the place where you will decide, am I going to trust God or am I going to fear and worry about this? You have a decision to make. Make the right decision and say, Jesus, I do not like what I see, but I choose to trust you. If you do that, and I mean you do it with a heart of wanting to trust God, I can guarantee you one thing. You will be very joyful at the outcome. You will always be filled with joy. Will the outcome be the way you expect it? Maybe not. But you will be joyful. I guarantee you that. And again, I'm talking from experience. If I go into situations where I look at them from a human perspective, I get extremely discouraged at the things that I see around me, whether it's at the work, whether it's anywhere. But there is one thing that I know and I have learned to do is that, Lord, I trust you in whatever situation that I'm in. And it's not something that you do once and it's good for every time. It's every situation you run into, you do it every time. You say, Lord Jesus, I choose to trust you. So with having said that, I encourage you all, when the times get tough in your life, you say, Lord Jesus, I don't know what you're doing here, but I trust you. If you do that, you are in good hands. And the Lord bless you with that, and I'll say an amen to that.
Sorry, James, I couldn't listen to your message. I was trying to get this devil to work. Got it moving. It's just a tablet. It's not really a devil, but sometimes it is. But I got it going anyway, through the grace of God. Well, what shall I do? By the way, on the 12th, they'll try to fix my throat, so I need all your prayer. Hallelujah. How am I now? Good? Good. Praise God. My message is kind of different. You need to pay attention to what I believe God is trying to tell us. There's this guy I read of a testimony years ago. This preacher was burned out. So finally, he decided he'd take a 3-week vacation in the mountains. Not read the Bible, not do anything, just relax. So he had a cabin up there, anyone dare a little lake, he'd go and sit by the lake and just let that empty box come forward where he didn't think of anything. He thought of nothing. Have you ever had the experience? I love it. I don't think of anything. That's when I grow the most. Hallelujah. There's this comedian that calls it, only men have empty boxes in here. They got one, women don't. Ha ha, you need one too. You'd be far more relaxed. You need an empty box where you don't think. Well, for a week, he just sat with his empty box, wouldn't think. And then, after a week, figured maybe I should read the Bible. So he brought his Bible down to the lake and read it. And the day didn't go as well. And the Holy Spirit asked him, why did you bring your Bible? I enjoyed sitting here with you thinking about nothing. And it took me years to figure that one out. I got it figured out. When you relax in Christ, you are in healing mode and in a place where a lot of time God wants you. Away from your busy life, where he can sneak a word or two into your heart and you meditate on it for a week. How many of you had that experience where God sneaks a word into your heart and you're just busy thinking of nothing? It happens to me and I enjoy it. Anyway, this is what God wants. He doesn't want us to be busybodies, workaholics. Even in the Word of God, relax, be at peace, because that's when God can speak to you the clearest. He can whisper and you hear his voice. Anyway, I'll give you a little bit of an example. It's not quite like that. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What did Martha do? And what did Mary do? Martha got busy. I'm going to fix them a good meal. And Mary, she just sat down beside Jesus to listen to him. And guess what? It really satisfied her spirit, because she couldn't really care what Martha said. And Jesus came to her rescue. But Martha was cumbered with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I'm not saying we should just flop down all the time and not do anything, but there are times when we need to be at peace and relax and let God speak to us. And Martha, she was irritated by that. That woman does nothing except listen to Jesus. Oh my, you can accuse me of that anytime, and I'll enjoy it. I listen to the Lord. Sometimes I have my empty box. Sometimes my mind runs. But I try really to listen to what God has to say. And over the years, it doesn't take much trying. It comes automatically. Jesus speaks to you. Now listen to what Jesus said. Luke chapter 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, oh, Mary is a bad girl. She should really be helping you. But that's not what he said. He said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen what? That good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She had learned to relax in the Lord. Martha forgot it. And if you study the Bible, you will notice that Martha is not mentioned anymore after that, except when Lazarus died. There's a little talk about it. And guess what? Mary, she was the first one to see Jesus after he rose from the dead. She was the first one who went and told the disciples that Jesus was alive. The rest did not believe. But Martha or Mary believed it. She knew what Jesus wanted. Her attention. She knew he wanted that relationship. Do you have a relationship with God where you can sit with your empty box and think of nothing for a long time and still be at peace? Do you listen to God? Do you listen to him when you work, when you walk, when you sit down, when you enjoy playing a game? Does Jesus get through to you? It's very important to come to that point, because regardless what happened, you may be irritated with something like my tablet. You might be irritated with it. But God, at the last second, took over and it's working. Hallelujah. That reminds me, though, God is saying, get a new one. Use that for watching whatever you want to watch. And then that's what I'll do if I can get Tom to get me one. And Philip, Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul explains it basically to the T. He said in verse 3, verse 9, be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Paul wasn't worried about himself. He knew he was saved. He knew he was right with God. I managed to listen to a little bit of James's message here. The righteousness comes from God. It's not what you accomplish and what you achieve. The righteousness that God demands, God has to give it to you. That's when you can start to relax. When you know that you're righteous in God's eyes. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? You can praise God. You can sit and do nothing. You can be busy. You can work. You can do whatever. But please, take time out to listen to him and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That's where it all is, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You don't have to kill yourself. You don't even have to worship him. You can sit quietly. We see the churches. Oh, we got to have a worship team. Otherwise, it's not church. Worship is good. It's good. But you don't really need it to be connected with God. That quiet place in your heart where God ministers to you is what Jesus is looking for. Have you made a place for him like that? If not, one of these days it'll catch up on you and you wish you had. Because as you grow older, you need that quiet place more and more, because there's way too much noise all around you. You need to be quiet with God. It says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, so that I can be at peace when I think of death. Death is graduation for me. I'm not afraid of it. In other words, I already covered it a lot of times. Death has become my friend because he is my ticket. If the rapture doesn't come, death is my ticket to a glorious time with the one I got to know throughout my life. So learn to be quiet. Don't be too busy all the time. Let God speak to you. Let him take you by the hand, by the heart, and lead you into his presence. And you will realize how beautiful God is. He loves us with a passion that we cannot understand. And once you understand that, once God has communicated that with you, there is absolutely nothing to fear, because death has become a friend. Sickness has become a place where you communicate with God, where you get mad sometimes, irritated, frustrated, but you know that God is there. Hallelujah. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
There is something that's gonna happen, and the day is drawing near. It is time to get excited. Hear that footsteps that I hear. Come on, Gabriel, blow your trumpet. All the dead in Christ shall rise. We are going to a meeting just beyond.
Is that footsteps that I hear?
Heavenly portals
seem so near.
Heavenly lights are shining clear. Is that footsteps that I hear? Are you ready for the rapture when we meet him in the air? Oh, his coming is drawing closer. Is that footsteps that I hear? Many a saint has fought the battle, run the race.
is that footsteps that I hear. Heavenly portals seem so near. Heavenly lights are shining clear. Is that footsteps that I hear? Is that footsteps that I hear? Heavenly portals seem so near. Heavenly lights are shining clear. Is that footsteps that I hear?